This Lord will use it to speak to our hearts today. What a mission conference. This ain't mission conference, this is camp meeting. Man.
You're right for now.
You go where I go in the mission meetings I go in. You'll come back up here jumping the pews and praising God for this place. I was preaching Brother Leland Frazier. Y'all know Brother Frazier?
Yeah.
Preaching mission conference last year. First night I knowed I was going to like it. They was running the aisles the first night. Literally running. Fast. I thought, I feel right at the house, buddy. I like this. Why in the world does any kind of meeting have to be dead? Huh? A lot of guys got ideas about mission. I ain't on a mission. Things are dead. Yours might be, but mine ain't. The ones I had in my church ain't. Yours ain't either, friend. I love it. Man, I love it. I love it. I sure do. And thank you, brother, for singing them songs. Thank you, preacher, for just keeping the old time way. I love your preacher more today than I've ever loved him. I mean that. I've always heard good things about him. But he's got a heart, two things. Number one, I've watched him. He's got a heart for God. He knows God. Number two, he's got a heart for people. Heart for souls. And you better thank God for that. Might be a day he'll not be here. You better thank God for it. Better write him little notes now. Don't wait till he leaves. When I left my church, I had people write me notes and things. I think I've still got some of them on my cell phone. A year or two ago. How much they appreciate him. You better do that while he's here. If you want him to stay. God might put him somewhere else. And man, great. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. This kind of stuff don't bother me. It bothers me when it's not like that. I mean that. I really mean that. And I'm used to it. I like it. I sure do. I just, it's wonderful. I'll say just a word before I preach this morning. Everybody got a faith promise card? Everybody got an updated faith promise card? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Now, if you come to this church and don't have a faith promise card, and you don't raise your hand, you don't want to know what may happen to you before you get out of here. Everybody got a faith promise card? I really hope you've been praying. I've been saying that every night since Wednesday. I hope you've been praying. And we're just going to trust God. We're not going to try to put God in a box and make him do this or that and the other. That's not my job. That's not your job. See, it's not our job to be obedient. His job to put in our hearts to do what we ought to do. And then we all be obedient to that. And I'll promise you he'll come through what he said he'll do. But if you don't have one, everybody got one. Make sure. All right? Yeah, updated one here. All right. Anybody else? Y'all need more than one? Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. I'll say just a word before I preach. I don't know how to say thank you enough for letting me come. And by the way, I mean this. If I lived in this area, I wouldn't have to pray long about which church to work out of. Y'all think I'm kidding when I say that. I'm not kidding when I say that. Mama, do we like this? It's all we've ever known. And I like it. Pastor with a heart for God, heart for people and souls. Good spirit in your church. Love one another. And I don't think I've ever been in a church that worked cooperative together as good as you have here this week. And God bless you ladies. If I had time and had money, I'd take every one of you to Shoney's. That's the pastor's favorite place. Pretty good place to eat. If you didn't want to go there, we could go to Hardee's and get a number 13. They're only $5. Amen. No, I wouldn't do that. If I had time, had money, I'd take every one of you out and buy you a meal. I mean that. I appreciate your hard work. Man, that meal yesterday, That didn't just somebody snap their fingers and them taters wind up there. Huh? That was wonderful. All of it was wonderful. And I'll say thank you for letting me come. My wife and I have enjoyed being here this week. Thank you for the wonderful place to stay. Thank you for all the goodies. I have 5 grandbabies and 2 great grandbabies. They're going to enjoy some of them goodies that you put in that basket with me when they come to see me. And they'll be able to thank you too. Amen. But I appreciate it from the very depths of my heart. It's been my honor to be able to come be with you this week. And I'll say this before I preach this morning. I'm going to be real honest with you. I told the preacher, I was really, I don't know if the word intimidated is the right word or not, but I was bothered about coming. I wasn't bothered about coming and being with you and your pastor. That one was bothered about. Step behind this pulpit after Brother Blue been here all them years. You just don't understand what that does. But all I'm going to do is be me. That's all I can do. I'm not smart enough to be nobody else. I'll just be me. I learned a long time ago, and I'm going to teach this week at Bible College. I'll teach them preacher boys, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Because you go somewhere and you're not yourself, and they put you in for a pastor, when you start being yourself, they're going to run you off. And you will start being yourself because you ain't smart enough to be somebody else long. And I don't want to be nobody else. My daddy was a preacher. My daddy was an old-fashioned out preacher. But my daddy and I are a lot different. Now, we preach the same book. We kind of preach the same style, wide open. But as far as outlines and stuff, he never preached an outline. He preached in lines. That's the truth. And my brother, that's with Rock of Ages. Been with him for years and years and years. He and I are so different in our preaching. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like me. I have another brother that started a church in North Dakota, and it's doing great today. And, of course, he's in heaven. He's been in heaven 9 years yesterday, my brother. He's in heaven. And my brother was a preacher. My grandson's a preacher. My son-in-law's a preacher. My son's a preacher. And every one of us are different. And before they all started dying off, we had 11 independent Baptist preachers in my immediate family. And we were saying about ordaining my wife, but anyhow. I don't want to know what she said. I'm not even looking that way. Mark chapter 2, would you stand as I read, please? I thought long and hard about the message this morning. And I don't want to just give a thought or an outline. I want to give what God wants. And I believe there's a truth here that we can pick up on that will help us just before we fill out those faith promise cards. Bible said in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And if he's in the house, you will know it. I'll promise you." Bible says in verse number 2, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door." And what did he do? It still works, church. That still works. He preached the word unto them. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was 4 and 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lie. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes said in their reason in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But I say unto you," in verse number 11, "arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they all were amazed, and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." I want to say this morning, I have never saw it on this fashion either around here. Y'all didn't get that. What I've been seeing around here this week, that's not what I'm going to preach. But what I've been seeing around here this week, I've never seen it on that fashion. You're blessed, church. You're so blessed. But I want you to look at verse number 5. Notice again, I'm going to use all the verses, but look at verse 5. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What did he see when he saw their faith? Of all the good things that could have been said about these four men that brought this man to Christ, of all the wonderful things I could say about them this morning, above every bit of that, he points out the fact when he saw their faith. Thank you for sending you to be seated this morning. In this chapter this morning, you'll find the miracle worker, the Lord Jesus Himself, has come to His hometown, which is Capernaum here, and He's preaching the Word of God. Many have gathered together, matter of fact, multitudes have gathered together, how to hear His Word and to hear the Word of God. And many has come to see His miracles here that He's performing here in the New Testament. Somebody asked some time ago, said, why did our Lord Jesus in His day perform miracles? Well, I think He did it for three reasons. Number one, He did it, first of all, to convey as spiritual truths. Those truths that He wanted to convey, He did that to convey those spiritual truths. I believe number two, He did it to meet the need of the people this morning. But also believe He did it to prove that He was the Son of God. Those Jews require a sign. We that say by the grace of God, we walk by faith. But Jews this morning require a sign. And so it is in our text here this morning, how they come to see the miracles here, how that He's doing this morning. Now when you study each one of the Gospels today, you'll find that each one of the Gospels present Him a different way. Of course, Matthew presents Him as King. How Mark presents Him as the servant of Jehovah. How Luke presents Him as the Son of Man. And John presents Him as the Son of God. But here in the Gospel of Luke this morning, how we see the Son of Man how doing the work of the Son of God. And in this morning, you'll find that Mark is a chapter, and Mark is a book this morning of action today. Hey, things are taking place. Hey, things are happening for the glory of God. Matter of fact, if you study this chapter today, you'll find that He's teaching several different lessons. Here in this chapter today, verses 1 through 5, He's teaching a lesson on forgiveness today. Verse number 6 here through verse number 12, He's teaching a lesson on forgiveness today. Verse number 13 through 22, He's teaching a lesson on fulfillment. Verse 23 through 28, He's teaching a lesson on freedom. I say to you, Mark is a gospel of action today. And so it is here in this chapter today. Bible said when He saw their help me. Faith. What did He see when He saw their faith? And by the way, can I just say this in passing? Faith and missions go together like gas in a car. You'll not go far down the road without gas. Unless you're on a long hill. You'll not get too far down the road without gas. And may I say to you this morning, you'll not do much in missions without faith this morning. Faith is the key that unlocks all the blessings of God. Have faith is the key that unlocks your Bible. Hey, faith is the key this morning that gets the attention of God. Have faith is the key this morning that will get God looking in your direction today. And so it is in our text this morning, how when Jesus saw their faith. I read that again this week and I said to myself, what did He see when He saw their faith? And I want to ask you a question this morning. What does He see when He sees your faith? God honors faith. Faith honors God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I'll tell you something this morning. God is a God that operates in the realm of faith.
Yes,
I realize this morning, a lot of folk don't understand that. And they don't understand the ways of God because of that. God is a God that operates in a realm of faith. You want God to bless you. You want God to help you. You put a little bit of faith in a great big God and watch Him.
That's right,
yes, sir. And I'll say to you this morning, what does He see when He sees our faith this morning? I want to give you four quick things. We'll go home. Number one, I'll say first of all, notice in this text today, I'll say, first of all, He recognized their faith because of verse 3. Look at verse 3. Bible said, and they came unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy. Now, I would say, first of all, he recognized their faith because they had a recognizing faith. Those four had a recognizing faith. They saw there was a need. They saw the situation. And may I say to you this one, if you don't see it, you won't do it. They had a recognizing faith this morning. I'm not going to preach this, but I thought about this man here. And what a picture of a sinner today. He's poor, he's helpless, and by himself he can't do a thing. And by the way, that's the same condition you're in spiritually this morning if you're not saved today. Hey, listen, you can't get to God by yourself. You can't lift yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. Huh? So it is with this guy right here. And I'll say to you this one, he had a recognizing faith. I can just see him as they come down the road. And they see this guy that's got the apostle, he's paralyzed. And he can't get up. He can't get off the bed. He can't walk. He can't do anything by himself. And they saw his need. Hey, listen to me. They had a recognizing faith this morning. Number one, they recognized his need. His need. And may I say this to you this morning? How we need to recognize that today. There is a world that's lost without Christ. There's a world that's going to hell this morning. There's a world that will go to hell if somebody don't recognize the need this morning. Man, I love how you got your church decorated. I love it this morning. And to ever, when my last church I pastored, we put our flags up also. And sometimes I would leave them up for weeks and weeks to remind our church there is a world out there going to hell. We need to recognize that. It's not me and my four and no more. How about it's the world? Hey, they recognize there was a need. And by the way, can I say this to you today? I want to challenge you to understand that today. Oh, my soul, those that are lost without Christ in the majority of the world is dying and going to hell this morning. Oh, they had a recognizing faith. We don't even need a recognizing faith. They recognize the need. Thought about this. We need to recognize the hour. Do you know it's about over?
Yes, I believe
it. Do y'all realize what I'm saying to you this one? Preach, I believe that. It's just about over. It's about over in more ways than one for me. I got more miles behind me than I have in front of me. I know that this morning. And I want to say these last miles that I take, by the grace of God, I want to give it my best.
Amen.
I don't want to cool off, calm down, shut up. No, sir, I want to refire. I don't know. If you saw this on the internet, don't believe a word of it. Somebody got started when I was out of my church. That Brother Barker had retired. When you see me, my body, laying in a coffin, then you'll know I'll retire. I'm not going to retire then because I'm going to do everything I can to put everything I can in print while I'm still living. And I mean that. You know why? Because you're going to live after you're gone.
Yeah.
Write books and train preachers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Huh? I said if you're going to live, preach, you got these books.
Got two books.
Which ones you got?
Don't have this one.
Creepy crawler. You need that creepy crawler book. And if you want to live, give that to the song leader back there. If you want to live after you're dead, write books and train preachers. And if you see on the internet that Brother Barker's retired, somebody lied. If I'm retired, I'd hate to go to work. Hear me this morning. Hey, we need to recognize the hour. I've got more miles behind me than I have in front of me. I know my time is limited. And I'll say to you as a church this morning, hey, if it's every day you're going to get involved in missions, if it's every day you're going to fill out a big promise card, if it's every day you're going to get involved and help us support missions around the world, you better do it now. You know why? Because the trump of God. Guess what Gable's doing right now? He's licking his lips. He's getting ready to blow the whistle. Y'all hear me this morning? Hey, this thing's just about ready to wrap up. Hey, the church, you say, well, preacher, I don't know that I believe that. Well, look at Israel. That's all you got to do. Just look at this one. And I promise you this thing's just about over. Oh, my soul, they had to recognize in faith. Aren't you glad God one day looked down through the telescope of time and saw a world talking about a recognizing faith, and saw a world that was going to come, and saw a world that was lost, and saw a world that's going to go to hell, and thank God made provisions, and you and I can be saved by the grace of God. He had a recognizing faith. Second thing I want to say about this text this morning, may the Holy Ghost open our heart and open our eyes to the fact that need. It's not just people in Blount County. Did I get that county right? It's not just people in this county. It's not somebody across the, just somebody across the street. It's not somebody just across the state. It's not just a few across the ocean. But it's the world tonight, today. And may the Spirit of God open our eyes to that this morning. Listen to me today. This generation of saints will give an account of this generation of sinners. I mean what I'm saying. We need to see that today. They are recognizing faith. I was standing in Lander, Wyoming a few years ago. I was filling in a church that one of my missionaries had left. And had a group of young people out there. Look at the mission people. We stood in Lander, Wyoming. There's a lot of famous people buried in this cemetery where we were standing, 1700s. And I think I remember young people, I know something about this. Look at those graves and some famous people that died in the 1700s, 1800s. And I said to them young people, and they didn't even realize what I said when I said it. I said, young people, that generation is gone. They're gone. They're not coming back. And I said, their generation will have to give an account for the sins of the people that day. Then the thought hit me like a ton of brick. This generation of saints will give an account of this generation of sinners. And let me tell you something, friend, we're blessed. Ain't nobody in this room ain't blessed this morning. You say, well, preacher, I don't even have enough money to pay attention. You're still blessed. I'm telling you, we're blessed this morning. And God wants you to use what you got today. Oh, they had a recognizing faith. They saw that guy had a need. Notice the second thing. They don't have a recognizing faith. Watch verse 3 and 4. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was four of four. And when they could not come down to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie. Notice they didn't only have a recognizing faith. But I'll say number two, they had a responding faith. They saw there was a need, but they didn't have nine committee meetings to take care of it. They saw there's a need. Some bless the Lord, one grab one side, the other grab the other side, the other grab the other, and the other grab the other. Here they go with it. They had a responding faith. And may I say to you this one, that's what we need today. Not only recognize the need, but a responding faith. By the grace of God, we got to do something about it. These people got to get the stuff. He got to get healthy. These other missionaries in here, they got to go. The Lord, I get that right. And the other ones in here. Oh, my, hear me this morning. And they had a responding faith. They saw there was a need, but thank God they responded to it. Watch this. You go to the average church. The average church. I don't need to talk about this again. You're not the average. Y'all think I'm just saying that, but I'm not. 3 or 4 weeks, I won't come back up here and have another service. Where I go, you say, why? Because what's here? But the average church, their response to missions is one of three ways. Number one, that's Brother Larker. That's Brother Moore. Here's how they respond. They respond this way. We'll be thanking about y'all. Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. They'll be thanking about us. Number two, a Calvinist told me some time ago, said, if God brings you across our mind, we'll be praying for you. Now, isn't that a wonderful response? We'll be praying for you. And sometimes they'll get real brave and respond number three this way.
If everything goes this right, we run up all the committees. We may bring you up for discussion in our next business meeting. I mean, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You better thank God you got a man of God in the man of this church. I love the way you operate your church. You are a New Testament church. Most committees miss God 900 miles. Are y'all listening to me? You're a pastor and you're a man. You get together. That's the way you're supposed to do it, man. Huh? Are you listening? How about the women? You don't have to listen to me. I'm not against him and the right one. My mama was a woman. Let the man of God, let the man take care of the business. You don't have that problem. I don't know why I'm saying. Let me tell you this. They respond in faith. Oh, it's not that they said, you know, they could have said, God bless you. We'll be thinking about you. I mean, that'd really have to, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what, we may pray for you. And I'll tell you what, we're going to think about you. Hope things go well. See you later. That boy would have been in bad shape. But they didn't only have a recognizing faith, they had a responding faith. Can you imagine this church service? The greatest preacher in the world's preaching. They have record attendance. The house is packed. Here come four men carrying a bed down the road. And when they get to the door committee says, sorry, fire marshal said we can't have no more in here. You can't come in, we're full. So instead of them four men saying, must not have been the will of God for him to get saved or get to Jesus nohow. No, that's not what they've done. They respond another way. They go to the back door. How when they get to the back door, the guy standing there said, they just called me on the radio and said, you'd probably be back here. Sorry, we're full. Number three. When they can't get through the door, they go to the window. You got to get in Hebrew to get all this. They go to the window. And when they start through the window committee says, ain't no way. We're full. Are you listening? Aren't you glad God so loved the world He didn't give us committees? A committee is the unfit to do the unnecessary for the unwilling. Huh? So you know what to do? They go around. Somebody said they got a ladder. I don't really believe they got a ladder. Because you didn't need a ladder in that day. They would go up on the roof. They'd got steps made on. They'd go around and right in the middle of the service. Right in the middle of the greatest service, greatest preacher in the world's preaching. Right in the middle of the service, all of a sudden, little rocks begin to fall. All of a sudden, little dust begins to fall. All of a sudden, dirt, because that's what it's made out of, begin to fall. Somebody said, Lord, have mercy. Look up here. And the first thing they see is that guy's 2 feet on that bed. They're letting him down feet first. Just how do you know that? Well, friend, they didn't let him down head first. Blood run to his head. And be sensible. They're right in the middle of the service. You know what we need this morning? We need some folk that will respond. In spite of the opposition. In spite of who says what, I'll guarantee you somebody done said it in this service this morning. You got 10 people that will criticize you for giving the missions. Why, you're crazy. Why, you keep going down now, that preacher's going to get everything you got. That preacher ain't getting nothing you got. That's going to the world. That's going to missions. Are you listening to me? Hey, I'm talking about they had to respond in faith. Hey, hear me this morning. God, give us some folk this morning. Thank God it's got to respond. Not only recognize, but respond. It's time to respond. Are you listening? Faith without works is... Are you listening? By the way, Bible faith never does this. I shall not be moved. Y'all want me singing that, won't you? Bible faith don't do that. You don't find that in the Bible. Look at the heroes of faith. By faith, he offered. By faith, he was translated. By faith, he moved. By faith, he went. By faith, he sojourned. By faith, he looked. Time to respond.
Ain't no time to think about it no more. It's time to respond. Lord, I'm preaching good. Are you hearing me? There's a world going to hell. They got to recognize in faith, but thank God, they got to respond in faith. Notice the third thing out of this text. They don't have a response in faith, a recognizing faith. Watch verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, yeah. Did you notice He saved him before He healed him? Y'all didn't get that. Look where He put the emphasis. Some of y'all been watching that deal down in Louisiana. I'm moving. And when Jesus saw their faith, it's about the saving of the soul more than it is the healing of the body. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the sick and father, Son, thy sins be forgiven. They had to recognize in faith. They had to respond in faith. But then number 3, I'll say quickly this morning, they had a reward in faith. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say to you. It was not their faith that saved that boy. But it was their faith that got him to Jesus. My mama's faith didn't save me. My daddy's faith didn't save me. My daddy preached 55 years pastor churches. But it wasn't their faith that saved me. But it was their faith that got me to Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many will be brought to Christ because of your faith? You're getting ready to do that. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm telling you this morning, they had a rewarding faith. A rewarding faith. Their faith didn't save them, but it was their faith that got him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a joy. You'll never know till you get to heaven about that. You'll never realize the magnitude of that and the greatness of that and the bigness of that until you get to heaven. Because of your faith, they're going to come from every nation around the world, thank God, that's been saved because of your faith. Right here on Gamble Road. Is that the name of this road?
Lane.
Gamble Lane.
Yeah.
You can go over Knoxville and say, do y'all know where Gamble Lane is? You know what they're going to say? I ain't got no idea. You can go down to Pigeon Ford and Townsend and say, do y'all know where Gamble Lane is? They're going to say, I don't have the foggiest idea. Is that in Tennessee? But you can get, hey, you when you get to heaven, are y'all hearing me preach this morning? They had a rewarding faith. And I want to tell you something this morning. You won't see the end results of all that till we get to heaven. Oh my, listen to me today. It was their faith that brought him to Christ. And I want to tell you, because of somebody believing God and somebody else's faith had trusted God and asked God to save me and kept on praying and did not give up. They didn't save me. Their faith didn't save me. But it was their faith that God honored, that God saved me. It was their faith He honored. I'm done. Listen to this. They had a recognizing faith. You got to see it. Number 2, they had to respond in faith. Number 3, they had a reward in faith. Look at verse 6. Number 4, they had a ridiculed faith. Watch this verse. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Let me say this before I read the rest of it. I thought they were dead. Scribes. I thought they was all gone. I thought they was all dead until I started pastoring. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their heart. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? The Bible says they're sitting there reasoning in their hearts. I'm going to tell you in just about a minute, and I'm done. I'm going to tell you what they was reasoning. I'm going to tell you what they're talking about. Ridiculed faith. They're sitting there. They didn't say one word about that guy getting saved. They didn't say one word about that guy getting healed. They didn't say one word about the greatest preacher in the world standing there preaching. They didn't say one word about how wonderful the message was. They didn't say one word about the record attendance that day. They didn't say one word. You say, what did they say? I'm going to tell you right now what they said. They're sitting there, and here's what they're doing.
Yep.
Who is going to pay for that hole? That's what they're doing. I've heard some of the dumbest stuff in my life down through the years from Baptist people. Who is going to pay for that hole? Hey, ding-a-ling. Don't you realize what's just happened? And you're worried about the hole in the roof? You need to get in the house before something falls on you and kills you. And we laughed at that, but I'll tell you what, I've heard some crazy stuff. I mean crazy stuff. Are you listening? Here's the big argument in the mountains where I come from. I believe we ought to do missions at home. Oh, we're doing all this other stuff. We don't even know where the money's going. We need to do it at home. We need home missions. They ain't read the first verse in the Bible about missions. Are you listening? I'm not against doing it at home, but while you're doing it at home, you do it abroad at the same time. Huh? I'm not against preaching people at home. You shall receive power. You knew that's coming, didn't you? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Somebody give me the next B word. Both. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Why are you doing it at home? Why are you doing it in Jerusalem? You're doing it everywhere else, same time. Same time, same time. Well, we just don't know where all... Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think Walmart does with your money? Why Dollar General does your money? If our mission programs and our church was going as much as Dollar General, we'd reach the world. Son, I'm telling you, they down here on the mountain where I come from, they shaved off top of the mountain and right on top, I just put Dollar General right there. Drive down the road 2 miles and there's another. Are you listening? People criticize that. That's crazy. Are you hearing me this morning? They had a ridiculed faith. All down through the years I've been criticized and had been criticized. Because I know we'll forget this and I'm closing. One Sunday we'd had a great service. That particular Sunday had 500-600 in church. Probably people got saved. Just a great service. And I stood in the front door shaking hands. People were coming out. Our church had two sets of doors. And then there's one door out front. They'd go out so that when they come through the vestibule, they had come by me. And a whole line of people. And this guy comes out. His face is redder than that right there. He said, I want to talk to you. Just real loud. And I said, okay, when do you want to talk? He said, as soon as possible. He just hollered. I said, how about tomorrow night? He said, that'd be fine. He said, where at? I said, I'll meet you downstairs in the nursery tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Why the nursery? That's where you take babies. I meet him on Monday night, 7 o'clock. He walks in, and when he walks in, Sherman, my deacon, sitting right beside of him. Yep. He slapped your head off for his pastor. I can tell you that right now. And would today. My deacon sitting right beside of him. That guy looked at me and said, what's he doing here? I said, well, the Bible said, let everything be established, and that's one or two witnesses. Yes, and I just as kind as I could be. I didn't raise my voice. I said, brother, evidently you have a problem. Something's eating away at you. If you would just... I'm just going to be quiet. And I'm not going to open my mouth and say one word till you get done. And when you get done, I'm going to speak. And I expect you to give me the same respect. Don't you open your mouth while I speak. So I sat there for an hour and I never heard such garbage in my life. Lies. Stupid stuff. And it really wasn't him. It's one of the devils in the church that didn't have enough guts to do it. Put him up to do it. It's one of them heathen's disciples. And the bottom line to it was he's so mad over the mission program. He was just all upset because of what we was doing. He said, we're going to be broke. We ain't going to have nothing. And accused me of things, taking on missionaries without asking the church. I never heard such a mess in my life. When he got done, I said, okay, let's see if we can summarize this meeting. I said, let me see if we can figure out where we're at. I said, number one, our church is broke. We don't have any money. I said, Roy, last time I checked, I think it's about $300,000 in treasure. I said, number two, our mission program is going backwards. I said, when I come here, we had 14. Now we got probably 200 at that time. So it's going backwards. Yeah. And I said, number three, you call me a liar. Preacher, I didn't call you. I said, you accused me of lying. He said, I did not. I said, okay. I reached in my pocket and pulled out a little recorder. I said, you want me to rewind it? I don't know if I'm supposed to do that or not, but I did. And to make a long story short, the bottom line to that was, it really wasn't him, it was somebody else that put him up to it. The bottom line to that story was, he was mad because we're sending money out of our community around the world and didn't know where it was going. That's stupid. You got to trust somebody. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? That is crazy. And by the way, I don't end that story right there. I want you to know that guy got right with God and remained nice to me to the day he died. You say, I would have churched him. I wasn't going to church him. It wasn't him to start with. It was a heathen that put him up to it. Are you listening to me? By the way, you're pretty sorry if you ain't got enough guts to stand eyeball to eyeball to whoever you're talking to and tell them what you... You're sorry. Huh? I got to get off this negative stuff. Let's get back to this thing. Are you hearing me? What does Jesus see when he sees your faith? Just in a minute. Somebody come to piano. Just in a minute. You're going to be filling out your faith promise cards. Do you ever recognize in faith? Do you recognize enough to see there's a world going to hell? How are you going to respond this morning? If you respond the same way you did last year, will there be any faith involved in that? Don't fill it out yet. Hang on just a minute. Will there be any faith involved if you do the same thing? You done seen God do what He done last year. Can I get a witness? Amen. You done seen Him do that. You say, preacher, you're putting pressure on me. I'm just telling you the truth. You done seen Him do that. Launch out. I heard somebody preach on that one day. Launch out. Are you listening? Launch out. Hey, respond in faith. You going to have a reward in faith? What you keep, you'll lose. What you spend, what you'll give, you'll keep. Or are you going to have a ridicule in faith? I say, well, I don't know if I'm going back up to that church. Not all I hear about money and give. That ain't all you hear. Come to church here and see if that's all you hear. No, I know better than that. Let's stand with our heads bowed, Father. I would ask you this morning, if there's somebody here that's in the valley of decision about their faith promise. Lord, I'd ask you this morning that you speak to their heart and show them. They need to come and bow around the altar, and I want to thank you for those that have this week. If somebody needs to come and bow around the altar and get something settled in their heart, I pray they'll come. God, I pray help us realize you're looking on the scene right now. You're seeing what's going on. And I pray, God, all I ask you to do is help everybody be obedient to what they're supposed to do. Lord, I'm not trying to pressure anyone to do anything. I'm just asking you, Lord, to put in the hearts of your people what you want to do through them this next year. Help them once again to realize that you're going to give through them what you're not going to give to them. Lord, it's not that you're going to fill their billfold or bank account up. Lord, they're a wirehouse. They're a conduit. You give through them what you'll not give to them. I pray, speak to hearts. Then, Lord, most of all, in this service this morning, the crowd of this size, there's no doubt in my mind there's probably somebody here lost today. Maybe a young boy, maybe a young girl, maybe a mom or a dad, like the lady on Wednesday night. God, that needs to be saved today. You have spoke to their heart. Not only today, you spoke to them in days gone by, and they know it. But they've not responded. I pray, would you draw them by your power? God, would you save them by your grace today? Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. Just a minute. We're going to fill out our cards. Before we do, I want to ask you this question. Are they one in the building this morning? Say prayer.